You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And I greet and welcome you wherever you are. If you're out in your car, you're listening on the internet, wherever, we just enjoy you listening to the program and knowing that you are being blessed with what you hear, not because of me or Pastor Donna, but because we're giving you the Word of God. My wife's not here, we're right here with me at this moment, but she might pop in here a little bit later. And so we're going to go on with the program and see what the Lord's going to tell us today. And I've really got a burden about Israel. I've been thinking about some things this week in a great dimension, looking at scriptures and all. So I want to talk about Israel. You know, we just went through the Passover season, which is very important on their calendar. And now we're counting the Omer out to the day of Pentecost. And so we got a little bit of time here. We can talk about some other things and all that that's important. But I just want to welcome you, greet you this program. Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida that we have for years, 21 years in fact, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so this is an outreach ministry of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so we're honored to be here. We've been on the radio now well over 16 years. We're heading towards 17 here pretty soon, but it's been a real pleasure. And I hope you all that's been listening a lot over the years, I hope you're getting a lot out of what we're going to talk about today, but I hope you're getting a lot out of what you heard in the past as well, because we've been robbed of our Jewish roots. We've had so much that's been taken away from us that we need to know. And we look through the Bible real closely. We see how God's promises for Israel, and every promise will be fulfilled right to the T. And so we thank the Lord for that. And so, Lord, I just pray before we start, I thank you right now that people have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to them today with this hour on this program, that they'll have their ears opened and their eyes to see what you're wanting to do with us personally. And Lord, that we'll never forsake the nation of Israel. We're fortunate, we're grafted in to that natural tree. We praise God for that. And so we lift up everyone right now that's listening to this program, that they truly will. They'll be open to understand some things that God wants us to know in this day and this hour, not only about us right here in our country right now, but also what God's going to do with the nation of Israel. So we're going to release this to you, and we thank you for all those, and we ask you to bless them. And they're coming in, they're going out as they look to you and understand what you want them to know for their personal lives as well. And these are all patterns we know. Thank you, Lord, for all the people that are listening, for their lives, that they can walk in a deeper dimension with you to understand the deep things of God. And so we release all the hearers right now in the name above all names, in the name of Yeshua. Glory be to God. So we're honored to be with you, as we always say every week. And so hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We mention every week that if you can't, we do offer CDs and tapes. And so if you can't hear the whole message and you'd like to, all we ask for is a love offering. And you can make out a check to the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. Just let us know whether you want a tape or a CD, and give us the date, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here with you, as we said. And you know, we talk a lot over the months and years about this book that I've written, about the pictures of the Messiah, and it's about God's prophetic calendar and all that. And we do make that available, and I just got them reprinted again. So if someone would like to get this book and find out the deep things of God in the spiritual realm and all the patterns that God has all through the appointed times, it's available to you for an offering of $25 and maybe $3 for shipping and handling. Let us know, and I'll be glad to mail it out to you, and you'll be blessed with it, not because that Don and I did it, but because it's the Word of God, and we gave you the prophetic implications and the patterns of all this, because everything is prophetic, all talking about Yeshua, the Messiah. In fact, while I'm thinking about this, hallelujah, I'm going to go over to Colossians chapter 2 with you for a moment as we get ready to open up and talk about the nation of Israel. This was all given to the nation of Israel, and they're the ones that incorporated it, and God used them to bring it to you and I so we could understand what God wants us to know. And even as Yeshua himself said, well, salvation is what? Of the Jews. And Yahweh's name means salvation. Yeshua's name means salvation. So aren't we glad? In Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read two verses with you here. Paul says here, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. This is talking about an appointed time, you know, or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Now listen to this. So he's telling you what these all now, what these represent. We know what they represent. I hope so. And it says, then which? What's the which? These things he's talking about are what? A shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So what is it? It's a resemblance. So they're all patterns that God gave us in the first covenant to bring us to that place to understand. They're all prophetic to even this day and hour that we live in. Amen? Got a little drink there. Now, think about it. We just went through this first blood moon. And people are talking about the blood moons, and we got three more to go. Got one more later in this year at Tabernacles, and there'll be two next year also. And so I think about all the signs that we have and all of what God's showing us, how close we are getting to the end. And when we think about even in 1948 when Israel became a nation, the next 2 years, 49 and 50, they also had four blood moons over those 2 years. 1967, when they won that war and took Jerusalem back and all that. What happened then? They had also four blood moons there in 2 years in a row. So it's incredible. So what God's showing us in those signs in the heavens. But what I want to talk about today, I just had a real burden for Israel. And I might mention before I start, if you'd like to talk to us or order those tapes or anything you'd like to do, like if you'd like to get a calendar, just call our phone number. It's area code 772, and that number is 285-7007. I'll say it again, 772-285-7007. So make yourself available to that if you want. Amen. So we went through our great Seder we had last week. It was wonderful. Had a lot of wonderful people and met some new people that we had never met personally. It's been listening to the radio program and all that. And so it was wonderful. But I'd like to talk about Israel. And Passover was, you know, we talked about that last week. The most important event that ever happened in history is when Yeshua came, died, shed his blood, and what rose from the grave. So I'd like to talk about them a little bit with what's going on. They've been in a plight for years and years and years and years down through time in the battle that they've had. And where I'd like to start at, I'd like to start over in Genesis chapter 15 with you. So if you're at home, you can open up your Bible. If you're out in a car, have ears to hear what the Spirit of God's going to speak to you. And if you'd like to get the tape like we mentioned, well, just make a love offering out, whatever your heart desire is that God shows you, and send it to that address we gave you, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. Chapter 15 is when God made this unconditional promise to the nation of Israel. And I want to read 18, 19, and 20 with you. Now listen to this. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed, now listen to this, I have given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. That land all belongs to the Jews, no one else. And then he says this. Then he says, the Kenites and the Kenizzites, I'll get it, that's a mouthful, and the Cadmonites and the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. There's what? There's 10 groups of people right here. And I always add the termites in there just by fun, but there's no place called the termites. But anyway, they're all ites, aren't they? And so these lands where these 10 groups all occupied, they are no longer there. because what? God removed them from the land because of the wickedness that they had. So we see right here that God's promised Israel this land unconditionally. There was no condition. They didn't have to keep the commandments, nothing. He didn't tell them that. He's going to give it to them. In fact, God put Abram in a great deep sleep, it tells us up here in verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, what, in this deep slumber, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them how long? 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great what? Substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. So he's talking to Abram. So he made this unconditional promise to them. Now the interesting thing is this, that the only reason they're in the land right now today is because of that promise right there in Genesis chapter 15. Unconditional. He promised Abram that land would be theirs. And it is theirs, okay? And so I'm going to take you over now to Deuteronomy, and this is after the commandments and everything, and the Torah was put in place. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 with you, and I want you to listen to this, you know, hallelujah. God took these scriptures for the Jewish people to express his character and his values to the entire world, not just to them, but to the entire world. I want to read here, I'm going to start in verse 5. Listen to this. Moses says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight what of the nations, this means the Gentile nations, which shall bear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for, all those things we call upon him for. So this nation here is talking about the nation of Israel. Verse 8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments, so righteous as all this law or the Torah, huh, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Incredible. Especially, he says, the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Verse 11, And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, and darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words. Hear this. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, hear this, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone. So this is incredible. Think about what God gave. So God chose the Jewish people. Now I often wonder why. Why? Were they more special than anybody else? We don't know. God chose them, mainly, the Bible says, because he loved them. He loved them, right? So he used them to bring all these things into being that we as the church, the ecclesia, you know, the one new man, Jew and Gentile, that we can comprehend and understand what God's got for this entire Bible from beginning to end to show us what his plan is. And we talk about this a lot. That he has a 7,000-year plan from the time that Adam was on the earth until we get all the way through the millennial kingdom to do what? To restore mankind in the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. So we want to talk about this a little bit about Israel. Now, Israel has been on a plight for years, and we know they were disobedient in a lot of areas, and so that's why they're scattered all over the world. But the land belongs to them because God promised the land to them. But we have a group of people now that claim the land belongs to them, and we think about all the things that Israel's gone through and all the troubles that they've had. But I'm always reminded what it says over in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So we want to walk in that place with God. So we just read these scriptures, how God wanted to use the Jewish people to express his values and his moral standards and all that to the entire world, okay? Now, we got to realize that even though Jews have not always, what, demonstrated these things, because, you know, they failed themselves in their own lives, we have to remember that the Jews have helped to spread the values of the Tanakh, or the Torah, you know, these values, now linked with democracy. You know, Israel's probably the only country, it is the only country in the Middle East that you would call a democracy, okay? And so they have what does the Jews do in Israel? They have respect for life, human dignity, social justice, human rights, peace, education, and property rights, honesty, etc. It's all come from the Torah. So think about it. Imagine what the world would be like without these values in our lives today. You know, our country was started on Judeo-Christian values as well. What would our country be without all this? But see, we've drifted away from all this. And you think about it, actually, all you have to do is look at any given culture before it was influenced by the Judeo-Christian values. Think about this. Multiple cultures throughout the world, even those considered advanced for their time, practiced child sacrifice, cannibalism, bestiality, and more before they were influenced by the morals of the Tanakh. All this happened before the law of the Torah was put into place. Because the Torah taught us what? What was right and what was wrong. But a lot of the world didn't want that. Amen? Of course, now we've got to remember this, that throughout large portions of our history, and the Jewish people, especially in ours, we as a people have not what always been a good reflection of God's character, as we have often not allowed the commandments of God to work in our lives. So God gave the commandments to the Jews to show us the right way to walk with Him. So I love it when I think about this. Now, I'm in Deuteronomy. I want to take you over to chapter 7 a moment. Now we're talking about the Jewish people and the plight that they're under right now. I'm going to read verse 7 and 8 with you in chapter 7. Listen to this. Well, I'm going to start in verse 6. For thou art a holy people, hear this, unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, hear this, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Maybe that's why He chose them, because they were so small in number. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, this is key, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? Know therefore, verse 9, that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, I love this, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them. Who's that? With the Jewish people. And love them and keep His commandments, what? To 1,000 generations. This is incredible to think about all that God's put in place. And so they've had a plight all down through history. We know they disobeyed, and God told them what was going to happen in Deuteronomy, the last couple, three chapters of Deuteronomy, and they were scattered all over the world, just like He said He was going to do. But the land still belongs to them. Well, then as time went on, we see some things that happened in Israel that it's a shame that it did, but I got thinking about some things in history with the Islamic faith and all that and what happened. Then somebody came in and began to declare the land didn't belong to Jews, and it was never intended for the Jews. It was intended for the Islamic people. And so in the Quran and the Islamic people, they believe that God doesn't have a son, and they believe that the Jews has perverted the word of God, and that Ishmael was the son of promise and not Isaac. But I'll mention one thing here that can prove to you the fact about this. God's a covenant-keeping God. When Ishmael was conceived with Abraham's wife's a handmaiden, think about this. He was not circumcised at that time. The covenant had not been made. But before Isaac came, he was circumcised. And so that shows you right there was a blood covenant made with God between Abraham and him and himself. And so when Isaac came, that shows you because of the blood that was shed, that was the covenant. And so Isaac is the son of promise, not Ishmael. Although God promised Ishmael to bless them and to do some great things with them, that they would obey His word and all that as well. And so as time went on, this began to come into place. Well, you know, the Islamic faith, really, I'm thinking about the mosque on Mount Moriah. It was put on Mount Moriah somewhere around 660 AD. So there was a lot of years went by before the Muslim faith became known and well known. And it started off really slow as well. And then, of course, it increased over time, just like God said it was going to happen in the Word of God. But some things happened that was not good that we need to look at here and take a look at. And so I got thinking about just about history and the relationship with Israel. I'm going to talk about a few of those things. Before I do that, I looked these things up the other day, and I've kept these around for a while. You know, we have four names or terms that we use, the Islamic people use, and it's also in their Quran. And the first thing that we know, what does the definition of the word Islam mean? The Islamic faith, what does it mean? The word Islam means submission. So their desire is to what? To have everyone to be submitted under Allah, which is their moon god, okay? Well, we don't serve a moon god. There's no such thing as a moon god, but they believe that he's God, okay? And so they want to have all the world submit to them and put Sharia law in place, and they're going to control the whole world. And if people won't obey that and won't do that, well, what's going to happen? They're going to kill people. Well, you know, you think about it. Islam is a religion of murder and death. You can see it all through history, and we see it right now in Israel right now. And so, but our God is what? He's a God of love that we just read about. He loves Israel, okay? And so we have these terms. So Islam means submission, and then, of course, their God is supposedly the moon god, and then Muhammad, who's their prophet, his name means the praised one. So they're praising him like we would honor and praise Yeshua. Amen? It's a counterfeit. And then they have a savior figure that they believe is going to come on the scene one day. He's called the Mahdi, and he means, what his name I should say means, is the guided one. And I'm reminded about this. Over in Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to take you over there real quick here. Go to Matthew chapter 24 if you're home. If not, you'll have to listen. As I said, you can get a tape or a CD. In Matthew chapter 24 is when Yeshua talked about all the last days and the things that were going to happen. We have an interesting verse in chapter 24. I'm going to start in verse 23. It says that Jesus says, Yeshua says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall come," what? "And arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive," what? "The very elect, which is, I believe, is the Jews, okay? Behold, I have told you before." Now listen to this. "Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in a secret chambers, believe it or not." Amen? So, the Muslims believe that there was 10 clerics and, religious people with their religion. And 9 of them died, we know. Well, 1 of them just disappeared, the 10th one. Well, they're waiting for him to come back, and they believe he's going to be what? The Mahdi, and he's going to come out of the desert. That's what they believe. And so we have all this, okay? And so here we have a struggle going on in Israel right now between the Ishmael people and also the Isaac people. And so I wanted to share this a little bit with you, thinking about all these things and what's going on in Israel, because we need to keep them in prayer right now. And, even in America, we've just not been in that place with them for about 25 years or so now. We just basically turned against Israel, and we're trying to go over there and tell them what to do, force them to give up their land and all that. And so we want to pray for them, and we got this in the church. We have anti-Semitism. We also have what, replacement theology and all that, different things that's being taught that's contrary to the Word of God. But I thought I might look at a few things with you down through history, and I've been thinking about this week. I think this might be one of the key reasons why our country is turned so far and going so far away from God, and I think we're going to see why here as we look through this a little bit. A lot of things has happened, and I thought about this when I was praying about this morning when I got up and all about this. So what about the other nations and regions in history with all this? Most of Europe, you think about it, severely persecuted the Jews during the Middle Ages. You can study that in history. At that point in history, Europe was what? Completely fractured. They were broken apart, largely ignorant, and in constant turmoil. So think about it. And so it suffered from devastating what plagues Europe did, and produced little of a culture or intellectual significance at all. And it was terrible how bad it was all those years, even during the Renaissance and all that. Well, then we think about this. Then we go out to around in the 600s, 600 AD or so, when the Islamic faith began to come in place. Well, you think about this. In the Islamic world at the beginning, Jews found peace, think about this, security and respect during the Middle Ages. They did. Is it a coincidence, or was this just something that happened? No, God planned it. In fact, it was called the Golden Age of Islam, because they could work together with the Jews, and they were careful with things. They honored them, they had peace and security with them and all that. And so But as the years went by, then it became more militant all the time. And so we got to think about what's going on in the world even today with what's changed over the time in history. And we know they had all these wars over there. They had the Crusades and all the rest of the things that happened. And the Muslims were in power for a while. Then the Christians were in power for a while. But originally, to start with, they were good to the Jewish people. Now let's go out several hundred years to the future. Now I'm thinking about the British Empire was friendly toward the Jews and even helped to lay the foundation for a Jewish national home in Israel. 2 years after signing the Balfour Declaration, if you study this a little bit, it reached its pinnacle. It was the world's largest empire, on which they quoted all the time about the British Empire, that the sun never sets on England or the British Empire. Why? Because they're all over the world. It's interesting when we see all this. And so here they were, and we talked about this even when General Allenby rode into Jerusalem, you know, that time, and on Hanukkah. And he stopped and he said, he was thinking about riding into Jerusalem on a horse, but he says, I'm not worthy. So he got off his horse and he walked into Jerusalem because he said, the Messiah is going to come one day on a horse. He honored that much. But the British slowly turned away from the Jews and what they promised them with the land they were going to give them and all that. So as we think about what happened with the British, this is interesting. But you think about, you know, after World War I and also especially after World War II, Britain turned its back on the Jews and its promises to them. Amen. Between 1945, listen to this, and 1965, the number of people under British rule outside the United Kingdom or Great Britain itself fell from, at one time they had control over 700 million people. Within that period of time, 45 to 65, it dropped down to only 5 million people. So the once great British Empire became known as what? The sick man of Europe. They began to lose all their colonies. And why? Because of what they did to the Jewish people. They reneged on what God had put in place, and they set it in place themselves, and they turned against it and didn't do what God wanted them to do. Amen? So let's go on now. Well, I think about this. Well, what about right now? Does this promise hold true in our time today? The answer to that is yes, it is. Just look at we don't want to look at the most cursed and the most blessed nations right now. We can think about how, look at all the cursed nations and look at the blessed nations. If we look at this in a little bit in history. According to the United Nations, I got this report. According to the United Nations Human Development Report of 2011, the Muslim majority nations lag behind, now listen to this, the rest of the world in virtually every social, economic, and educational indicator, and rank the lowest of the low in the national literacy and abject poverty. Remember, this is the same region that had flourished centuries before when they had treated the Jews well. Yet the vast majority of the Muslim world has been obsessed with the goal of destroying Israel in recent years. Now let's think about America for a moment now. The United States, on the other hand, has blessed the Jews since its inception more than any other nation in the world. We have. However, if you measure it, the U.S. has been one of the most blessed of countries in history, and we have been. Even America's recent decline could be tied to the U.S. government's increasingly what negative attitude towards the nation of Israel. So we think about this. It's incredible, you know. So and I was thinking about this week. Could this be the key thing or one of the major things that's caused our country to drift away from all the moral values and all that God has in the Bible today? Why? Because what? Every time we go over there and meddle in Israel's business, some repercussion comes here in America. There's a book out by a man that wrote a book about every time we touch the apple of God's eye, which is Israel, there's always some kind of retribution that comes. It's happened with us over and over. Just before Katrina hit up there in New Orleans, they were doing something in Israel. All these things that happened. And I can remember back several years ago when myself and a good friend of mine, we went to Israel and at Purim, and we rented a car and drove all over Israel. One day we were downtown Jerusalem at a stoplight, and this big black limousine came by with a bunch of, you know, big fancy cars behind it. But the leading car, I looked up, and Condoleezza Rice was sitting in the back seat of that car. They were over there right then trying to negotiate a false peace with the Palestinians, and it'll never happen. And they're over there trying to divide the land. And so we know what's already happened. It's incredible, all the things that's already going on. And you know, when I think about it, we even have words in the Bible about this. If you go over to the book of Amos with me for a moment, I just thought about this. Go to the book of Amos with me. Hallelujah. You know, Ariel Sharon was the prime minister at that time, and he finally gave in thinking they'd have some peace with the Palestinians, with the Muslims and all that. And so he gave in with Arafat and all that. And so he allowed all the Jews, or he forced all the Jews to be removed from the Gaza Strip. And what an incredible, I mean, what a bad time that was in Israel's history. And, you know, they forced them out. People set up on their roofs and they refused to leave and all that. And some of the soldiers that wouldn't drag them out of there, they were court-martialed because the order was to get them out of there. And so they gave up the Gaza Strip, and they thought that was going to bring peace. Well, it didn't bring peace. And right after that happened, Ariel Sharon, he had a major stroke and went into a coma. And he was in a coma for 8 years. And just recently, not long ago, he finally died. And so he made that promise to, well, it didn't bring peace. Now they want the Golan Heights. They want more. They want more. They want more. They want more. But I wanted to show you this about the Gaza Strip. It's in Amos chapter 1. Listen to this. Verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. Well, what is Edom? Well, Edom was what? It's an offspring of Esau, so it's what? Today, Edom would be what? The Muslim faith. It's what it's all about. Yeah. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour what? The palaces thereof. Now listen to this. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon, and I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God, because of what happened in Gaza. It's going to come one day. Verse 9. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom. This is what this, Edom, okay? And remember not the brotherly covenant. There was a covenant made way back. I'm going to look at that in a moment. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom again, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother, what? With the sword. That's what's going over there right now. And did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. So here we are. Now, this brotherly covenant, I'm going to go over to Genesis chapter 17 with you, verse 19, I think, or 20. Genesis 17, I'm turning over there. I probably should have my Bible open, so it saved a little bit of time. But in chapter 17, verse 20, listen to this now. This is about Ishmael. It says this, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with who? With Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. So God wanted to bless, you know, Ishmael and his group, but they became militant, and they became men of war and all that. So we see all these things in the scriptures about these people and how they came. Now, I thought about this. There's a radio program. I've never listened to it. And the man, he's got a talk show. It's called, his name is Dennis Prager, P-R-A-G-E-R. I've never listened to him. I'm going to quote exactly what he said. He says, the evidence historically and this very moment suggests that there is indeed a real connection between the state of society and its treatment of the Jews. I am increasingly convinced that God's promises in Genesis 12:3 is verifiably what? True. It is true. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. This is incredible when I think about all the things that's gone on down through time. And so God's not going to forget these people. I'll tell you that they belong to him. He loves them, and he'll continue to do his work. So I thought about this a little bit today before I came on here with you. There's an interesting thought, and I'm going to go over to Ezekiel now, chapter 38 with you. And a lot of people's talked about Ezekiel and all that and the prophecy here, but I'm just going to read a little bit of it, and I want to show you some of these nations, and I want you to remember this, that God will never forget anybody that has come against his people. So you know what? There's a lot of nations right now that he has a grievance against because of what they did to his people. And I'll tell you, judgment's going to come. And it tells us in the book of Revelation that one day all those nations are going to surround Jerusalem, and God's going to come, and Jesus with him. And what's going to happen? That place is going to be destroyed. And he will. Their judgment will truly come at the end. And so Israel's got what? 22 nations around them right now that despise him. They want to run them off the land. If they had their choice, they'd just like to have them all killed. But it's not going to happen because why? They belong to God. they're God's people. And so I want to read this to you a little bit. And there's a lot of nations that have come against Israel down through time. There's none of them around anymore. If there are, like I think about Egypt, they wish to be the most powerful country in the world, but now they're still here. But think, they're so back in the backwoods, they're living like they did 500 and 600 years ago with most of the people that live there. You're either rich or you're poor and all this. And so we look at this, I think about all these nations. We have Egypt. Now think about this. You know, Germany, I think, is going to be part of these nations that are going to come from the north when this Gog and Magog comes. And I really believe it's going to happen before Jacob's trouble. Well, do you think God has a grievance against Germany? They killed 6 million of his people. Sure he does. And then Persia is going to be mentioned here in this chapter. Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, Togarma. All these, there's lots of nations, you know, that's done things to the Jewish people. I think about Spain. They expelled all the Jews out of Spain around 1492 on the 9th of Av. If they didn't convert to Catholicism, they put them on ships and sent them out to sea and they all died. England also dispelled people, those Jewish people as well. It's happened over and over. And so God has a grievance with those people. Let me tell you, he's going to bring it all to a conclusion one day. And so this Gog here is showing you something, and Magog is showing you something very interesting, I think, very prophetic. It's right on the horizon for it to happen in the world right now. Verse 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him." So there's going to be a coalition of evil at this particular time when this comes. Now, glory. Verse 3, "And I say, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal." This chief means, this word chief in the Hebrew is the word rosh, the head of, okay? Now, verse 4, "And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." Now he's going to give you a list of nations again. Listen to this. Persia. What's Persia today? It's Iran. We got Ethiopia. It's still Ethiopia. We got Libya. Well, Libya's in uproar right now with them. So we got Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield, the helmet. Now we have Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, of the north quarters, all up in the north. And we even have Russia, don't we? Look what's going on with Russia right now, okay? And God's got a great grievance with Russia, too, because they killed hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jewish people, and not only them, but Christians as well. Now we go on. "Be thou prepared for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them." Now listen to this. Here's the key part now. "After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years," hear that? "Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword." They're all coming back right now. They're going to come from the north, huh? That's what the Bible says. "And is gathered out of my people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations," what? "Out of the Gentile nations, and they shall dwell safely of all them for a while." Now listen to this now. Glory be to God. "Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought." They're going to come against Israel. Now look at verse 11. "And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." It's interesting, it said unwalled villages. Hallelujah. You know, the little cities and all in Israel today, where the Jews are, they're called villages, okay? Where the Muslims are, they're called settlements. You know, they're settlers. You know what they are? They're squatters is what I call them. You know what God's intention with them was, what? With Israel, that God would be in control, the Jewish people would be, and they would be obeying the Torah, and any nation could come, okay, and dwell in Israel and abide by the government that was established and all that. That's what God wanted. But see, we got all this rebellion going on. So here we are. Now they call it Israel. It's not called a nation anymore. It's called a state. Israel's not a state. They're a nation, okay? But we hear this all the time. And so we have our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry over there trying to make some deal to bring peace. We're meddling in things that we should not have our nose stuck into. We're getting in trouble. And I believe we're getting some repercussion here in our country as well. And so they've been doing that for a long time, trying to tell Israel what to do. What would we do with a group of people if they came into America and they want to establish their own government in the land and disobey everything that God had put in place for America. Would we put up with that? I don't think we would. And so here we are. We're wanting this to happen with Israel. They are a sovereign nation. They belong to God. They're sold out to God. And so what right do the Islamic people have a thought of taking over Jerusalem and all? You know, that's what they want. And they want to take it out little by little, get more and more of it, and to push the Jews clear out. They have no right to do that. And so this is what's going on. So we need to pray for America that they'll take their hands off. If we don't, I believe this is probably a big part of why our country's in the moral state that it's in today. God just lifted his hand off America in many areas because we've done this and we continue to do it with Israel. We won't relent from doing it. I don't understand why we keep doing this. Why don't we just let, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu, let him take care of it. Let the Jews do their own business. We don't invite anybody to come into our cabinet members and, you know, in the Senate and the House of Representatives and all that. We don't let other people come in from other nations and try to tell us what to do and all that. So why would we do that with Israel? But we are. We're doing that, you know. And like I said earlier, you know, Israel's the only democracy over there in the Middle East. The rest of them are all under Sharia law. And they're going to come around one day. But God's going to show the world real soon here that he's in control. And I think it's going to open up a lot of eyes. I'm going to read verse 11 again here in Ezekiel 38. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. They're going to be at peace, in other words. I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor what? Gates. Amen? To take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, the Gentile nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. See, the Gentiles are also invited to come if they can live there in peace and do the things that God wants according to his word. Now listen to this, verse 13. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Now listen to this. Therefore, son of man, he's talking to Ezekiel, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, we're there. I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me. Hear this? For the purpose that the world and the heathen will know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants and prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring what? Thee against them. Hallelujah. And then verse 19, for in my jealousy and the fire of my wrath have I spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. He's going to shake. Hallelujah. Verse 21, and I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. They're going to fight with each other. Like the Sunnis and the Shiites are fighting with each other right now. They're killing each other over there in the Middle East. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him. Listen to this. And upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, the Gentile nation, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now I'm thinking about this. If we go to Psalm 83, this is all about Israel also. I'm going to go over to Psalm 83. I'm just being led by the Holy Ghost here. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 83 talks about 10 groups of people here in this chapter also that we've already talked about. Edomites, the Ishmaelites, Moab, and Hagarines, Gibal, Ammon, and all of them. They're all going to come against Israel. But I like what it says at the end here. Verse 17, when God's going to do it at the end, when they all surround the nations at the end, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. Now this is the reason for the whole thing. Why God's going to do Gog and Magog, and Israel won't have to lift one weapon. He's the one that's going to do it. This is what it's all about. Verse 18, that men may know that thou whose name alone is Jehovah are the most high over all the earth. Not some of the earth, but over all the earth. So that battle is going to come. I think we're getting really close to that. It's coming. And a lot of eyes will be open at that particular time, what God's wanting us to know and do. Amen? So there's some wonderful things just to think about what God's done with Israel, and he will continue to do that in every different direction. So thank you for it, Father God. We give you all the glory and all the honor and the praise for what you're going to accomplish and do. So we thank you for this, Lord. So let your people realize how important Israel is and what you're going to do with them as we continue to walk with you and give you glory and honor and praise for what you're going to do. So we thank you for it. I just give you glory and honor. And I wonder and I think about the things that God's going to do in our day and hour. Somebody's at our door knocking on the door here, but that's all right. We're going to go on here. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do with all of us. And so we thank you. I'm reminded of Genesis 17:7. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. What an incredible thing we can think about. It's incredible. So Israel is so marvelous, and we need to continue to stand up with them, and we thank you for that. You know, there was a Russian novelist that lived years ago. His name was Leo Tolstoy, I guess, T-O-L-S-T-O-Y. Listen to what he said. I'm going to quote him. Look what he said. The Jew is the emblem of eternity, he whom neither slaughter nor torture of thousands of years could destroy, he whom neither fire nor sword nor inquisition was able to wipe off the face of the earth. The Jew is an everlasting, the Jew is as everlasting as eternity itself. I think that's incredible, amazing. A lot of good things with all this. And so I think about this with Israel also, some things. You know, think about all the wonderful things that God's done through the Jewish people and all. And all through time, you know, he's promised all these things to the Jewish people. These are all the promises he's got. Think about this. The Jewish people are about 1/5 of 1% of the world's population today. Exiled from what? Their homeland, and despised by most of the world. Yet against all odds, this promise has come to pass. All the promises. Think about the great thing. I think about Jonas Salk. He was the one that created the polio vaccine that saved a lot of lives. He was Jewish. Did you know that the Jews have won about 20% of the Nobel Prizes? Statistically, this is 100 times more than we should have won. I'm sure I should say it over. This is 100 times more than we should have won based on our size, Israel. The Jewish people's contributions are quite simply too numerous to be listed completely. I can't list them all, amen. But just to name a few of these, listen to this. Medicine, the pacemaker development of several life-saving vaccines and antibiotics, including penicillin and the first cure for tuberculosis, local anesthesia, technology used in MRIs, chemotherapy, the defibrillator, aspirins, all this came from the Jewish people. How about technology? Instant messaging, Google key technology used in radios, TVs, wireless telecommunications, and GPS today. Development of the cell phone and solar power, color photography, remote controls, virtual reality, all these things that they've done. And I think about agriculture. Oh, Haber, it's Haber, H-A-B-R, process, means food-related technology responsible for sustaining what? Approximately 33% of the world's population. Genetic engineering and the thing called drip irrigation that they used in those days when the land became green over in Israel. How about science? Significant Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in the fields of DNA research, atomic structure, quantum mechanics, and etc. Other practical inventions we have today. How about genes? They invented genes, hallelujah. Sewing machines, microphones, ballpoint pens, stainless steel, traffic lights. They did all that, hallelujah. It's incredible. And a man by the name of Stanley Maeser, I'm quite familiar with him. He was a co-inventor of a thing called the microprocessor, which enabled the current technology to have revolutionary things like the computers and all. He was the one, and another man, that you came up with this about the microprocessor. All this and a little bitty chip that you can put on a board. The Jews' contributions in science, medicine, technology, and numerous other fields have saved millions of lives and improved billions. Listen to what John Adams said years and years ago. I'm going to quote him exactly. I will insist that the Hebrews have done more to civilize men than any other nation. They are the most glorious nation that ever inhabited the earth. They have influenced the affairs of mankind more and more happily than any other nation, ancient or modern. Isn't that incredible? So you think about it. God predicted something seemingly impossible to most of us, that the Jews would still be small in number, scattered, persecuted, and yet still be a blessing to all the earth. Could we have done this? Could the Jews done this? As I'm thinking about as a Jewish person, could they have done this on their own without him? No way. No way could they have done that. It's incredible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I got to stop and just meditate here a moment. Hallelujah, Lord. Ah, you know, I think about, you know, God chose to show his love and protection for the Jewish people all through the Bible as his own people in a unique way. I'll get in a minute. He declared that I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And we see all the things down through time with, I think about Esther and Mordecai, and we can just go on and on things, okay? So history is very complex with these things, and events can't be simplified to a single explanation. Thus, how nations relate to the Jewish people, this is very key, how the nations relate to the Jewish people isn't the only factor in their rise and fall. But has it been a significant factor? The answer is what? Yes. First, think about Israel's ancient enemies. We read about those a little bit ago. Whatever happened to the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Moabites, and the Amorites? They're all gone, aren't they? These nations and many more came into existence, around the same time that the Jewish people did, but now are no more. Why did the Jews survive? But those who sought to destroy the Jews couldn't do anything about it. Amen? Hallelujah. Those who sought to destroy the Jews didn't pass away. The land was barren for hundreds and hundreds of years, but God promised all the prophets they were going to come back into their land. The land was going to flourish. There were going to be crops. Look what's going on in Israel. The agriculture they have. They ship so many products, fruit and all this, into other parts of the world that they grow right there in Israel. It's incredible when I think about it. So he promised that they would all come back. And we got a lot of scriptures where it talks about they're going to come back. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I like what, first of all, you know, God said that the hearts of many exiled of the Jewish people would yearn, what, to return to Zion. Look how many people are making aliyah today back to Israel. It's incredible. It says in Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5, I'm just going to read part of it. It says, the children of Israel will come with continual weeping. They will ask the way to Zion and turn their faces toward it. That's in Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. It's incredibly good. Amen. I love it. The second thing, God predicted that many other Jews would return, what, to Israel due to what? To persecution. He specifically said of the Jews living in the Middle East, they will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria. This is currently what? Iraq and Syria. And they who are outcast in the land of Egypt. Isaiah 27:13. So when the nation of Israel was established, think about this, the surrounding Arab nations, including Iraq, Syria, and Egypt, threatened the lives of their Jewish populations and forced over 800,000 of them to flee. The vast majority fled where? To Israel. Thus, Isaiah's prediction was what? Fulfilled. On the other hand, listen to this. God said that some Gentiles would actually help us return. Glory be to God. See, I will beckon to the Gentiles, the scripture says in Isaiah 49:22. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. Hallelujah. This was a seemingly, think about it, absurd prediction to most people not too many years ago. Even Mark Twain, who would have guessed that Gentiles would help us return, huh? Yet evangelical Christians have indeed helped hundreds of thousands of the Jews to return to Israel. It's incredible. And then, of course, the proper language was put back. Hebrew was brought back into place in those days as well. You know, think about this. Mark Twain said this one time. This was in 1867. He was in Israel, and he says this. This is quoted. A desolate country given over wholly to weeds. A desolation. Hardly a tree or shrub anywhere. We never saw a human being on the whole route, the route that he walked on. Isn't that incredible? He wrote and quoted that. It's unbelievable. And so the desert blossomed just like it said it was going to, and what the word said, I think about it. It's incredible. And I looked at it. I got a picture in a book I got here not long ago showing Tel Aviv in 1909 and with all the Jews around, and the nothing, it's just completely barren. It's like a desert. No trees or nothing. But we go 100 years to the future, to 2009, and there's a picture of Tel Aviv from the air, how marvelous God has done all this in 100 years. It is unbelievable. Amen? Glory be to God. Woo! So I think about this. Out of nearly 200 countries and territories, Israel is ranked, listen to this ranking they have. They're 17th in overall human development. This is combining all the indicators. The next thing, they're first in most resilient economy, ranking in the face of crisis. Second, next thing, second in percentage of adults with university or college degrees. The next thing, 7th in life expectancy at 81.6 years. The last thing, 27th in GDP per capita. It's incredible what God's done with him. So he has a promise, and he's not going to back off of it. So we got to keep them in prayer, especially our country as well. So it's a miracle that they survived. But everything that God said would come to pass. And so we have to understand and keep this in our heart. In the 17th century, think about this. Louis the 14th asked Blaise Pascal, the great French Enlightenment philosopher, he says, to give him proof of the supernatural. You know what Pascal answered him simply? This is a quote. Why? He says, the Jews, your majesty, the Jews. That's why. It's incredible. So we have all this evidence. We just praise God for what he's done with Israel, and he's going to continue to do it. So we have to just keep praying for them and remember what God has said he's going to do with them. Amen? Glory be to God. So this time goes by so fast, but it's wonderful. So I'm going to go back over to Ezekiel for a minute with you. And I want to take a look at a couple of verses. We're down to about 3 minutes now. But I want to show you something very interesting in the book of Ezekiel. And we won't be able to read it all, but I want to read part of it, and then we have to close. If you enjoyed this and you'd like to get a copy of the tape or a CD, just give us a call. I'll be glad to mail it out. Or you can just send in a love offering, and we'll mail it out. This is in Ezekiel chapter 36. I can't read all of this. But I want to read starting in verse 25. Listen to this. Hallelujah. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Who's this? Upon Israel. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. They did a lot of things wrong, but God will never forget them. A new heart also, hallelujah, also will I give you, and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you what? A heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 31. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. So they got into idolatry. They sinned. And so what happened? God told them in Deuteronomy, so I'm setting life and death before you today. You choose. Well, they didn't obey God, and so what happened? They were scattered all over the world. But aren't you glad they're coming back? They're pouring into Israel. And so, Lord, we stand with you, and we thank you. Let your church stand up with Israel. Never let them say that God's done with Israel, because, God, you've got all these promises. You're not done with them. And we thank you that one day they're going to have all that land they have right now, but even more so, because that land belongs to them. We read that in Genesis 15. It was an unconditional promise to Abraham that land belonged to them. And so we thank you for that. But Lord, somehow we pray that you'll take care of it. But the Bible says these nations are going to gather at the end, and there's going to be a battle, Armageddon, and they're all going to be wiped out. And Yeshua, you're going to come back, and we thank you for that, and you're going to establish your kingdom on this earth. Hallelujah. So I'm running out of time. We thank you for listening. As we said, if you'd like to get a CD or a tape, just send in a love offering to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 314, again in a minute, Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995, and we'll get it out to you. So we're on this program every week because we love people. We want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ to understand some things that God wants us to know in these last days. And so I'm going to give you the phone number again, area code 772-285-7007. So I tell you to look up, as we do every week, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And I just say amen.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord, and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.